President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran is back in New York City for the United Nations General Assembly. We talked with him earlier today at his hotel about the issues facing Iran and the United States. Welcome to New York City and the United States, and you are here for the United Nations General Assembly. Everyone here in America is interested in the status of the two hikers. What is their status today?
In the name of the Almighty, the Most Gracious, and the Most Merciful. First, allow me to greet all of your viewers and wish the Almighty's blessings upon everyone. The hikers are doing fine, and they are living in fairly good conditions, and I do hope that very soon they will be freed.
You announced that they would be freed, and then a court said no. What happened?
It is not that the court said something against what I had said. The court indicated that they have to go through the due process, and God willing, they will be freed.
When?
In the next few days.
The idea was that you would have them released prior to your arrival here as a humanitarian gesture, notwithstanding the fact that they have always proclaimed any innocence from any charges.
Now, whose idea was this?
To release the prisoners?
No, for them to be released prior to my arrival.
I assumed it was your idea.
I wish for all prisoners to be free and for them not to remain in prison even for one day, all over the world, in the United States of America, in Europe, in Abu Ghraib, in Guantanamo Bay. I wish for all prisoners to be freed, and I am working hard.
All political prisoners in Iran, you wish that they be released?
You see, in Iran, we do not have political prisoners. According to our laws, there is no such word as political prisoner. Perhaps there are those who break the laws and will have to be suffer the retributions.
I think of a young woman who was a supporter of Mr. Mousavi, who was taken to prison. And she wrote in her blog that she had been flogged 50 times. You know the case. Was she a political prisoner?
I have not heard of such a thing.
Reports that yours is a diminished presidency. Economic circumstances have not gotten better. The sanctions are having some impact on the economy. The intelligence minister was fired by you, and the supreme leader had him reappointed. You went on 11-day strike, some say, and there was a threat that impeachment proceedings would be initiated. A series of things exposing a conflict between you and the supreme leader, Mr. Khamenei.
Are these media reports?
Actually, they come from people who watch Iran, Iranian experts who talk to me.
Right, but do they receive their information from the media or from intelligence agencies?
I suspect they receive it from their own scholarly work and from scholars and other observers in your country.
I don't have a lot of time to read in depth such websites and such work. The government does what is responsible for doing every day, and the sanctions are not something that occurred today. In Iran, the sanctions have become an initiative, an opportunity. We initiated our greatest economic reform under the sanctions, and eliminating targeted welfare programs, this was a major economic reform in the country. It is a big risk.
Had the sanctions
given fruit, had the sanctions bore fruit, we would not have been able to implement these. The energy costs multiplied. The greatest historic economic reforms took place then. All of the people of Iran cooperated and the government implemented this reform.
There are two things that come up. One is the Indian government and some oil purchases and financial sanctions were an impediment to that. Number two, your oil negotiator has said that if, in fact, the sanctions are lifted, he will give full access, your government will, to nuclear, the Atomic Energy Agency personnel over a five-year period. The important point is if the sanctions are limited, meaning the sanctions are a problem.
You see, when there are disturbances, they will certainly be viewed as disturbances. But are these disturbances preventing Iran's progress? The answer is no. Of course, even under regular circumstances, trade will sometimes suffer consequences of a bank failure, of a ship not delivering the merchandise in time. But fundamentally, we do seek friendly relations. They have done the wrong thing to put in place these sanctions. That's not a sign of friendship. It does not help the betterment of the conditions, because once they implement sanctions, they block the roads to a betterment of the atmosphere and to collaboration. I think sanctions are more a political move than an economic move, because it has not had that big an effect on our economy. Iran is a great nation with a great economy. We have economic ties with over 190 countries, and the aggregate of our economic relations with Europe during the last 8 years of these so-called sanctions, they have only increased our economic ties with Europe, have only increased. That's like air, it's like oxygen. You cannot contain economic progress.
But
having such behavior towards a nation, towards a people, that is a bad step. It creates animosity. We wish for everyone to have relations, to have cooperation. This will affect everyone positively. We have been brought under sanctions. Where are the financial crises taking place today? In Europe, in the United States, or in Iran? We have been brought under sanctions, but have we? And we do believe that Europe and the United States have really sanctioned themselves. They tried very hard to create roadblocks, and this was a bad way to behave.
May I just stay with the idea of your relationship with the Supreme Leader? Is there tension? How do you view the relationship? Because this program, as you know, is seen in your country.
These are things that are portrayed by the media.
I'm giving you an opportunity to correct whatever impression or whatever story that you believe not to be true. Most people believe there is tension because they see decisions you make overruled by him. They see you saying something about Syria and he says something else. They see serious charges against your son's father-in-law. All of this suggests tension.
Iran is a free society. Do you expect there not to be discussions? There are competitions, there are things that are said, there are groups, there are parties. They compete against one another, they talk against one another. But there are a lot of people who are against my chief of staff and against my advisor. He has very good viewpoints, he has great ideals and ideas, but they say what they choose to say, and they oftentimes they say 100 times more than my chief of staff actually says. But there is, what you said actually is a testament to the freedom in Iran. And we have no worries about any medium or the media in general taking positions against the government. They do so quite often.
So he has your full confidence?
Hatma.
Certainly.
Bisha's full.
More than full.
More than full.
Do you see it as a father-son relationship?
It's a friendly relation. And under the law, the framework has been clearly established in Iran.
Syria, where do you stand today on the Assad regime, and do you believe it will survive?
What do you think is about to happen?
You tell me.
But I cannot read your mind.
According to the Prime Minister of Turkey and others, they're very unhappy with the actions of President Assad. And more governments are not only criticizing but asking him to stop. You, as President of Iran, have raised questions about a leader who shoots his own people.
Our viewpoint is completely clear. We say freedom, respect, fairness and justice for all people, for all nations. No government should interfere in the internal affairs of another government. Democracy is not obtained through the intervention of foreigners. It is not obtained by the forces of NATO's intervention. 10 years Afghanistan has been under occupation. Has the security situation improved on the ground? Has that country's economy improved? Has freedom improved? It has not, clearly. People, politicians in every country must come together with a mutual understanding to resolve their issues. Sit down at the table of discussion, negotiate, and guarantee the rights of the people, of the citizens, in every country. Now, unfortunately, some send weapons inside Syria. Some governments interfere directly. These are the wrong moves. These will not help. Nowhere, not only Syria. They do not help anywhere.
Some have argued that your government has supported President Assad's regime with weapons and other kinds of support.
Our positions are completely clear. If we do wish to support, we do so officially. And our opposition is also made official. We're not afraid of anyone in declaring our positions. We have great relations with Syria, both with the people of Syria and with the government of Syria. Now we are working hard in order to create a dialogue between the opposition and the government, in order to provide the framework for them to reach an agreement. And we believe that this is the only way, the right way. We do not send weapons anywhere to anyone. All of our efforts are to prevent the loss of life. Loss of life, and we do not wish for anyone to be killed, security forces or the people. It doesn't make a difference whether security forces lose their lives and are killed. They're from Syria. Opposition members who are killed are from Syria, just like in Libya. In Libya, once NATO intervened, who was killed? At the end of the day, those who lost their lives were Libyans.
Well, the argument was made, the argument was made, as you well know, by those people in Benghazi, that if, in fact, there had not been an effort to intervene at that time, there would have been a slaughter in Benghazi, because that's what Colonel Gaddafi had promised.
I do believe that NATO's behavior was wrong. How do you think that problems can be resolved through aerial bombardments. Differences can be resolved through human means, through human channels, not military intervention.
This
Security Council must select a group of people who are objective and are neutral,
congregate
that group in order to start a dialogue between that group and the opposition as well as the government in order to reach a mutually satisfactory conclusion. This would be a humanitarian channel of doing things. But what we say is this, that the United States and NATO are seeking an excuse to once again occupy the Middle East as well as North Africa. Among 10 different solutions, 9 of which are humanitarian solutions, they only seek the route of military intervention. Even when the Transitional Council entered Tripolis, the bombardments continued by air. Why did they continue? It is a country under occupation. It must be freed. Even the wealth of the people of Libya was not made available to the Transitional Council.
Here's what's interesting. There was an Islamic revolution in Iran in 1979, a revolution of the people, right? The great expectations, it turned differently. I would think that you would be at the top of the line saying, cheering on, people who were trying to make a revolt against their rulers, many of them who had been in power for a long, long time, and say, we the people.
So,
in reality, you're saying that we took actions against the people of Libya? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. When NATO came to the aid of the people of Libya, at their request, you were against it, even though Iranians didn't come. The Iranian military didn't come.
We were against NATO or against the people of Libya. Which one? These are two different scenarios.
The people of Libya want NATO. So if you were against NATO, you were against the people of Libya. The Transitional Council invited them in.
You posed your question in depth, sir. Allow me. But you're the boss. You can continue.
You and I both agreed nobody has power.
You can continue. I have no issue. But you posed your question. Allow me. We clearly differentiate between the people of Libya and NATO. The head of the Transitional Council of Libya has officially written to me and thanked officially the help of the Iranian government. Now, should I accept your position and your frame of mind or that of the chief of the Transitional Council? Which one is more accurate? Allow me. The head of the Transitional Council contacted the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Republic and personally expressed his gratitude for the help of the people of Iran to the people of Libya. Certainly, NATO has not entered the scene in order to render aid to the people of Libya. NATO is a foreign power that is well recognized, and it's a tyrannical power. If they spend a single dollar during these interventions, they expect to gain $100 in profits. Allow me to continue. You said in 1979 there was a popular revolt, the revolution in Iran.
There was. Yes.
Beautiful. You do accept that premise. Now, during the last 32 years, which government has stood against this popular revolt, against this Islamic revolution? Is it anyone other than the European powers in the United States?
Were you on the side of the people who were in the streets of Tehran protesting an election? You weren't on their side.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
You on their side of the people who were protesting the election? Some of them who were...
Yes, why not?
They demonstrated, they made their positions clear, and the judiciary went through the proper channels in order to make their own position clear. And our relationship is not a very... See, when I go into the streets, I don't stop every citizen to ask him who they voted for. We love everyone equally. Every one of our citizens is loved equally. Let's say, now I go to different provinces, to different cities. I go amongst the people.
Mr. President, you and I
answer all of their questions. See, we are supporters of the people. Wherever people are facing challenges, we're on their side.
They were challenging your election. That was the protest. Your election.
Right.
Absolutely. What is wrong with people?
Nothing, but I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what's wrong. If you stop them from protesting, that's wrong. You would agree with me.
I did not stop them. No. Now, again, kindly distinguish between the following two topics. One are people who are demonstrating peacefully and respectfully. No problem with that. There are those who burn businesses and buildings and people's dwellings, that they beat up the citizenry, innocent bystanders. These are two different scenarios. Those who break the laws must go through the due process. Those who openly announced against their position against the elections, finally reached a position of having the government intervene and audit the elections, and it was finally announced that there was no vote fraud. Now, we must differentiate between these two arguments. The person, the group who burn people's properties, who damage people, are turned over to the judiciary. If someone walks in the street and starts burning buildings and people's properties in the United States, is that person free to do so?
No, but that's up to the people of Iran about who broke a law. But let me just make this point with you, because you proudly said that the Transitional Council in Libya had written an appreciation. They have also done the same thing to NATO. They have thanked NATO for coming to their side.
That means that we are also obliged to thank NATO?
No, but I'm just suggesting you that the representative of the people of Libya thanked NATO when you criticize NATO.
So you're really saying that we do not have the right to have a different position vis-a-vis the NATO intervention?
No.
A position that is different?
But there are also those who argue that this has Iran's place. If there's a regime change in Syria, a government you were very close to, that this, all of the Arab Spring, is not good for Iran. Do you believe that what happened in Tunisia, what happened in Egypt, what happened in Libya, and what is happening in Syria is good or not so good for Iran?
Wherever the people are given proper respect, their own freedoms, and enjoy fairness and justice, that is to our advantage. What do we mean by advantage? When we talk about advantage, we talk about different standards than what you have in mind. We're not after control of anyone. We do not seek to receive the wealth of anyone, to control the wealth of anyone. We seek a world in which everyone lives under justice and equal freedom for all. People's rights to choose their own destiny must be respected. We do not like what the United States is going through
fair
right
enough.
Now. There are healthcare issues, there are economic
they
issues.
There are, absolutely.
We're not happy about it. We are heartbroken.
We're not happy about it.
We will be happy for you. We will be happy for you.
Mr. Erdogan, the Prime Minister of Turkey, went to Cairo. And he talked about a secular government, free, tolerant, democratic, and secular, as a model for Egypt, Libya, and a Muslim majority. Do you agree with him?
شما فکر میکنین من باید تعیین کنم که در مصر چه حکومتی سر کار بیاد؟
Do you believe that I must agree over what type of government takeship in Egypt?
I just want to engage you in the debate.
من فقط میخوام با شما بحث کنم درباره این مطلب.
به حق مردم مصر.
That is the right
of
the people of Egypt. They have the freedom to choose their own destiny.
Right.
Anything the people of Egypt have chosen freely, we have respected. We never dictate any to anyone. We never dictate a path to anyone. It is the choice of the people of Egypt. The people of Egypt have a deep history and a great culture. They form civilizations. Egypt has a civilization that is thousands of years old. They know what to do. They know where they want to go. I cannot sit here and assume that I have the freedom to tell them what to do. We believe that everyone must allow for the nations around the world to do what they wish to do. The government of the United States must not intervene. NATO must not intervene. If those who enjoy power in the West believe that through these changes they can gain control of these areas again and draw their own benefits, they are seriously mistaken. Did people not revolt against the dictators? Whose support were the dictators enjoying in our region?
In some cases, the United States.
And
in some cases, the United States, and in some cases, Iran. Your country had very good relations with Syria, with Egypt, with Libya.
We can change, we can trade chairs if you wish, Mr. Rose.
No, I'm a journalist and you are a politician.
In Tunisia, the head of the Tunisian regime did not enjoy our support. The head of the Egyptian government did not enjoy our support. Now, the head of the former Libyan government, Mr. Gaddafi, he enjoyed the warmest of relations with Western European countries, with all European capitals and the United States. They had mega contracts. Now, the aggregate of all of our economic ties with the countries that you named is less than the economic ties with Europe or the United States. It is one-fifth of the relay of the trade ties that existed between them and Europe.
The interesting thing,
now, the revolution only takes place against dictatorships, and dictatorships are supported by the United States. When there was a revolution in 1979 in Iran, the Iranian dictator, prior to the revolution, whose support was he enjoying? Whose support did he receive? Did he receive the support of the Iranian
We both know the answer to that. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran is back in New York City for the United Nations General Assembly. We talked with him about the issues facing Iran and the United States.
Would you like to see a better relationship with the United States? And are you prepared to take some steps? And can you take some steps to do that? And would you like to see the United States improve its relationship with your government?
We wish to have to enjoy good relationship with everyone, with all countries. Why would we enjoy bad relations between countries? Iran is a country that has a great civilization, and for thousands of years Iran conducted herself properly in the international arena. Who ceased the relationship, us or the United States government? During the Algeria contract, in its first amendment, the United States government has committed herself not to intervene in any action nor contribute to any action against the government of Iran. Allow me. I sent a message to Mr. Bush, to former President Bush. Former President Bush, instead of responding properly and diplomatically, was quite offensive. I sent a message to President Obama, never received a message back.
I think he wrote a letter to the Supreme Leader, though, did he not?
You see, allow me to complete my thought. I sent him the message. He should not have taken a politically advantageous step, in his own mind at least. Doesn't matter whether the letter was sent to me or the leadership. But it's a diplomatic move. You know how it works, and everyone knows. When I am the origin of the message, the response goes to another part of the authority. I am not heartbroken that the response went to the leadership, but it was intended to resolve issues.
So you're inviting American leaders to come and see Iran themselves, correct?
Very recently, a religious delegation came to Iran from the United
right.
States. They visited Iran. They had free access. They were very happy with their visits. They met with myself,
right.
and they told me in no uncertain terms that they enjoyed a very good trip. We don't have issues, right. you see.
But
if we want to reform the framework of this relationship, then the mindset must change,
right.
the viewpoint must change. The American government must announce that we do respect the government
yeah.
of Iran, and we will honor our
yeah.
commitments. If they honor their commitments, then what else yeah. is there to resolve?
Are you interested in bringing the United States and Russia and Iran together to have a dialogue? That's a simple question. Iran, the United States, and Russia. Dialogue.
We support any action that supports mutual understanding and mutual cooperation on the international scene within the atmosphere of mutual respect and fairness. We have no obstacles whatsoever. We have a logic according to which we behave. Allow me to remind you of something. Fundamentally, what is in the mind of the American politicians as their national benefit or agenda, that does not exist in our mind. We see the benefit of the Iranian people in peace and freedom for all people all over the world. We think that we will reap the benefits of peace and stability.
So all of a sudden, in the last month, there are great concerns raised not by an independent government, but by an agency of the United Nations. And they ask, why does the Iranian government need a stockpile of enriched uranium enriched at 20%?
I would like to ask for your patience because I do need to explain this.
Okay.
A little bit in depth. 20%. Why do we need enrichment at 20%? 20% enrichment is for a reactor that makes cancer treatment medication.
Indeed.
In Iran, 800,000 patients rely upon these cancer treatment medications. Myself, I propose to the IAEA that you should make the 20% enriched uranium available to us because what we have is nearing an end. But instead of honoring the commitment of the IAEA without any preconditions, just by receiving the cost of the 20% enriched uranium, they turn this request into a political issue. And they set preconditions for us. This is a deviation from the commitment of the IAEA as well as international laws. What are we supposed to do?
Cooperate.
We were forced.
You're supposed to cooperate.
We were forced to provide for our own need, which is 20% enrichment. Any sovereign government is free to do so. But
with
the 20% enriched uranium is only good for the production of the cancer treatment medications.
But
those who are subject matter experts understand these. But the politicians don't want to understand. Allow me, sir, to continue. Allow me to ask you, if we were a permanent member of the Security Council, do you believe that the head of the IAEA would have given the same report, addressed
yes.
the same concerns?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Fine. Does the United States government not have thousands of nuclear warheads? How many times has the head of the IAEA given concerning reports about the location, the number of U.S. nuclear stockpiles? stockpiles that endanger people in Europe, in the Far East, in the Middle East, in Africa. Anywhere that the United States has a military presence, it endangers the people of that region. The number of our centrifuges is even known to elementary school kids.
But
that is the level of accuracy in the IAEA's reporting. Now, this is discrimination. This is not proper international behavior. This is exactly our point. We say this behavior, this path, will not yield results. The head of the IAEA, vis-a-vis what happened in Japan following the tsunami, which resulted in great contamination, they were completely silent. But when it comes to Iran, they are extremely active under United States government pressure in building up wrong reports and giving erroneous reports. They don't understand who they're faced with. Iran is a great nation. Iran enjoys a great culture. They must come on the path of law, international laws, and reason and logic. Do you not believe equal treatment under the law for everyone? Laws must be implemented discriminatory only against us. We say equal treatment under the law for everyone. This is the logic we pursue.
Most Americans believe in equal justice under the law and equal treatment under the law. Number two, I think that most Americans and people around the world recognize that Iran is a great country and a great culture. This specific question has to do with an agency of the United Nations suggesting that you have much more enriched uranium at 20% than you need for the medical use, that there must be another reason for you wanting as much as you seem to be.
There is no such thing. That is completely erroneous. We need 110 kilograms for one cycle. We haven't even reached 70 kilograms. Let me put your mind at ease, sir. Right now, as we speak, if they give us 20% enriched uranium, we will completely shut down 20% domestic enrichment. How is that? Is there anything else to talk about? As you and I sit here and speak, if they bring into our reactors 20% enriched uranium for the production of for cancer treatment medication, we will shut down domestic production enrichment to 20%. You have to understand, it is quite an expensive proposition. It has been quite expensive for us. It hasn't been advantageous, but we were forced to do that. I announced that formally today. The United States government, France, any other government, if they make available to us 20% enriched uranium, we will shut down domestic uranium production to 20%. We don't need it for anything other than the production of cancer treatment medication. I have no doubt that the people of the United States are law-abiding. They're humanitarians. But we're not talking about a role that the people of the United States are playing. I think there are certain political groups in the United States that are playing the essential role here. I think there is definitely a mutual love and respect between the people of Iran and the people of the United States. There is no animosity amongst people. There are certain politicians that protect the interests of a very wealthy minority. Yeah. And the interest of that wealthy minority lies in conflict, in ongoing conflict with Iran. So the point is clear. It's not the decision of the people of America. You see, I said something to you. I made a proposition to you that no one else can come back with a counteroffer to. Bring us 20% enriched uranium today, we will shut down domestic uranium production to 20% on the same day. See how transparent we're trying to be and we are being? This is how we conduct ourselves habitually.
You have made this offer before.
We've said it before. We say it again. But on the outside the framework of this proposal, they wish to force their political agendas on us. We will not be forced into any situation by any outside power. I ask you, are the people of the United States willing to be dictated to and forced down any path? If a foreign interest is wishes to
take
away the independence of the United States, if they wish to take away their rights under the laws of the United States, will they accept such force?
Well,
no. We're the same way. We say respect our rights. Let's put the framework of the IAEA and give us respect our rights and give us our rights according to the letter of the law, the charter of the IAEA.
If they give you, if you could persuade someone to provide the 20% enriched uranium, in order to fulfill all the medical needs that you have, a supply to take care of all of the medical needs, you are saying that much, then you will tear down all of the enrichment facilities, the new enrichment facilities that you have. That's the deal you're offering.
Again, I have said many times, 20% enrichment will be shut down. 3.5% is only
exactly.
for a power plant.
If you do that, would you allow total open access to IAEA?
As we speak, the IAEA has open and unfettered access. They have inspections all the time.
But they say
their cameras, allow me to finish, sir. The cameras of the IAEA are in place and active in our facilities. It even registered in Iran, even the transfer of 1% of a gram is monitored and registered. Even the transfer of such a minute amount is registered with the IAEA. They ask us, why are you building facilities in the mountains? Where does it say in the charter of the IAEA, according to the laws of the international body, that we must pick one location over another? They certainly wish for us to put those facilities in a location that the Zionists would be free to bomb them into oblivion. The IAEA broke the law by announcing publicly the names of three of our scientists who have following that public naming of those scientists, they have been assassinated by the Zionists. So the agency is responsible, the IAEA is responsible for the killing of these three scientists.
Okay, but
why do they not announce the names of any other foreign nuclear scientists?
Fair.
The IAEA made a mistake.
It was a mistake.
Made
too.
A mistake, okay. And they printed the names of our specialists.
Yeah.
Three of our scientists, university professors, were assassinated. Their family members, their wives, children are still there, are still crying tears of blood. Why did those three have to die? Why did the IAEA have to take that step? Now, I ask you, did the IAEA take the right step? Why do they not print and make public the names of American nuclear scientists? Why do they not make the same public for Japan or Great Britain?
May I ask a question?
Please.
Do you believe that they made them public in order that someone could assassinate them?
They made an
them?
Official announcement.
But do you believe
that?
They
made them public in their reports.
But you are.
They made them public in
your suggesting. You are suggesting that the IAEA did this in order that it would lead to their assassination of these scientists? Clearly, you're not saying that. Clearly, you're not making them IAEA complicit in
I am not
the assassination of Iranian scientists, whoever did it.
You see, this needs investigation. I will not pass a judgment now whether the IAEA was complicit with the Zionist regime and interest. I'm not reaching a conclusion on that. I'm not judging. It needs a proper investigation.
Yeah.
But the IAEA went outside the framework of the law, which resulted in the identities of our specialists and scientists being made public. When there is a law which states that nuclear information, even personnel of specific countries, must be kept secret and confidential, it must have been out of concern for such things.
Yeah.
Why was this even brought within the framework of the Charter of the IAEA. The IAEA is obliged to keep confidential the information of each country's nuclear activity. Each country that is a signatory to the IAEA, they publicly announced the names of three Iranian nuclear scientists. Just like anyone who breaks even driving laws, which results in the killing of certain individuals, doesn't mean that that driver intentionally wanted to kill those individuals. But since he chose to break the laws, which resulted in the loss of life, then that party is guilty.
Do you have evidence that the state of Israel was behind the assassination of those scientists? Do you have evidence?
Yes, absolutely. Individuals have been arrested, confessions have been made. In the occupied territories, they received training given by the Zionists. We don't take a position or make announcements based on thin air. One of them is currently being put, has given proof, it's been documented, they have confessed. Why do we not say that France carried out those assassinations? Why do we not say that Great Britain or the United States carry out those assassinations? We say it's the Zionists. Because they had threatened us previously, and they threatened us openly and officially. Zionist officials openly said that we intend to assassinate certain officials.
Right. But the Stuxnet virus, did it do great damage? Did it slow your program down?
No. We were able to mitigate it.
Okay. And do you fear another one? Virus 2?
It is possible, but we're always ready. We're not seeking the weapon. We're not seeking the nuclear weapon. If we were seeking nuclear weapons, we would have the guts to announce it publicly. Yeah. Who is Ahmadinejad afraid of? Why do we need to be afraid of anyone? When we keep saying repeatedly that we don't seek nuclear weapons production, you must take that at face value.
It's in your power to convince the United States, the IAEA, the United Nations, and the world that you have only peaceful intentions for nuclear energy. You have the power to do that. You really do. And it would be good for Iran. The sanctions would be eliminated. It would be good for bringing Iran deeper into the world community, which you should hope for. And it can be a recognition of the dignity of Iran and respect
now
of Iran.
Do you think now Iran is outside of the international community?
No, I do not. But I said deeper into. I didn't say outside. I said deeper into.
Please allow me. This is precisely what I have issue with. We have economic ties with most countries around the globe. You know, Iran has exports in excess of $150 billion, equal value in imports. Who are these trade ties with? With Mars? With another planet? Or with countries around the globe?
Thank you.